and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Forgive me if I cough and splutter. I'm feeling slightly under the weather as I record this. Joined by two show regulars in the form of Lee and Joel.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
And a special guest who has been on the show several times, actually. It's Mr. Justin Gibbs from Weird.
Hello.
Always fun.
So Justin is here because as we record this, it's Monday. It's Monday night for us and Monday lunchtime for Justin. And tomorrow, which is Tuesday the 20th of January, Weird enter their next phase of public beta testing. Basically book three, Justin?
Yeah, book three of second edition.
So we've talked on the show before. We've talked partially about book three in terms of the campaign, but today we can talk about the things that we weren't allowed to talk about last time, in the form of avatars. So I know there's big changes coming. The three of us are fortunate that we've seen the stuff because we're henchmen. So, Justin, what's happening with avatars?
All right. So, if you played in our previous beta, you'll notice a lot of changes from that. We decided to go a new direction with avatars, and there's sort of three key points. But the first and most important one is that they will be campaign only. So you can only take an avatar if you're playing in the campaign. And you are going to earn it throughout the course of playing the campaign. It's part of your mastery evolving as they go along in the campaign. And with that announcement right there, a lot of people are probably freaking out, so calm down. there's more to it. You can still use your old models. So allowing players to use previous Weird product that they bought is very important to us. So we've approached this sort of in a multifaceted way. So first point, they can only be used in the campaign, right? Second point, we are progressing the story. We're not retconning anything, but as the story goes on, what happens is it turns out that the power of the red cage and the power of avatars is a little too much for, you know, a human body. And there's a major character that tries to go avatar and dies, and I'm not going to reveal that right now, but everyone else in Malifaux sort of witnesses this event and kind of realizes, oh, this might not be the greatest idea. And so they start limiting the powers that they use in Red Cage, and so it becomes more of a spiritual aura than an actual physical transformation. So the story is progressing in that way, and sort of moving away from this whole, like, physically changing avatar concept. The second point is that we are releasing one new model for each faction. These are going to be the emissaries. And the storyline for these is that the effigies, you know, the faction effigies, arcane effigy, brutal effigy, etc., have picked up the power from the red cage, the power of avatars. It turns out they can handle it, right? So masters can channel some of their power into these effigies. And so each faction is getting one large 50-millimeter based, you know, super cool giant model. And the way these models work, you can hire them normally, right? You don't need to manifest them or summon them in. You can use them with the effigy on the table as well. There's no restrictions on taking these. You just pay soul stones, put them on the table, unlike avatars, which is very nice. Second point is each emissary will have one upgrade per master. So, for example, if you're taking, I don't know, the Rezzer one, you can take Seamus's upgrade, and these are zero stone upgrades, so they're just basically part of the model, right? So you could take the Seamus upgrade, and now it has synergy with Bells. Or you can take the McMorning upgrade, and now it does cool things with poison. So in this way, each emissary becomes themed for each master, depending on how you take it. And in the normal game of Malifaux, these are all legal proxies for your old avatar models. So if you still want to use that cool Seamus avatar that you have painted up, you just take the emissary and use that with Seamus, so that model is not invalidated for you in, like, tournaments and such. And there will not be any new plastic avatar models. We're only making these emissaries of fate. But if you're a new player who wants to play in the campaign and use the actual avatar rules, We will be releasing 50mm base inserts that have like flames spouting out of them and everything that represents sort of the avatar aura that the masters are going through. And you can just put your 30mm master base on top of it and it counts as the avatar. Or if you have the old avatar, you can just use that. But that's the base inserts are only for the campaign. I expect most people to probably use the emissaries and proxy their avatars in. So if you have the old models, you can still use them in the campaign or as an emissary in the normal game. If you're a new player, obviously, even if you play in the campaign, you can still have access to avatars. And, you know, the reason we did this is because the avatars were very limiting. There were a lot of restrictions placed on them. They'd always come in halfway through the game, and that was something we really couldn't change based on the fluff in the previous edition. And yet there were these giant centerpiece models, and people obviously wanted to use them for the entire game. And so this posed a lot of problems, and we felt that this was probably the best route to go with them. Do you have any questions about that?
Many.
Where to start, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, okay, so, I mean, I suppose the first question is really an opinion question, I guess. It's how much have you been cursing, probably quietly, because if I remember right, it's Nathan and Eric, the previous authors of Avatar Rules and the fluff about how they manifest in games so that you can't get those cool models in from turn one?
You know, not too much. I can't fault them very much because obviously some choices I don't agree with. Obviously, I wouldn't have done that with avatars. That's caused a lot of issues. Yet at the same time, they also came up with the whole cheating fate thing and the whole Malifaux idea.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, that is quite good, I suppose.
So if you take the good with the bad, the good far, far, far outweighs the bad. So it's not such a big deal. It's been an interesting challenge to work around. I mean, it's actually been kind of fun to try to figure out how to fit this into the game and make it actually work without breaking the game in half. So,
yeah, because I mean, you've tried a lot. I mean, one of the fortunate things about being a playtester is you get to see these things. You've tried a lot of methodologies over the past couple of years to get avatars to work, you know, in a way that works within the fluff and also within the game. I quite like the idea that they're campaign only, and I certainly like the idea that there's a model that you can proxy the other things in for, so that you don't have to worry. You've suddenly got this expensive model that you can no longer use.
I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's like you say, the avatars are the big centerpieces. I mean, I can see four avatars from here, and to think that, you know, they'll be shelved is quite disheartening. But to think that you've actually gone through it all, and like you say, is that the emissaries, you know, they can replace them, so you can see, you'll be able to see them in tournaments as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and they'll actually get to start on the table.
Yeah.
Well, my sort of question is, the emissaries being these big imposing models, they're going to be fairly hard to balance themselves, do you think? Because they're going to be substantially powerful, I would have thought.
Yeah, they're probably going to be the biggest balance challenge for this upcoming beta, but I don't think it will be terrible. We have them at the 10-point level right now, which I think is reasonable. It's powerful without being, you know, a Nekoma for each faction.
Yeah, that could be a real issue, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Would you compare them at all to the Riders?
Yeah. They're sort of similar in concept in that it's sort of this cycle of models that a bunch of different factions have access to. They also can power up throughout the game. They have this ability called Destined. And every time you score VP from your strategy, they get the Destined plus one condition. And it's basically like regen plus one, and it keeps stacking. And it can't be removed. And then they have a zero action where they can remove Destined plus two or greater. So if you scored at least two VP from the strategy, and they have this big cool action they can take for free. And they each one does different things. The Arcanist one lets you draw three cards, and the Guild one lets you activate three models in a row, which is the big controversial one right now. The Gremlin one does lots of random stuff. So in that sense, they can be compared to the Riders, but I think only in those two ways, in that there is sort of a themed one for each faction, and that they do have sort of like a big final action. The Riders are very dependent on those abilities because they also have the defensive trigger, and it's built into their attacks with the suits, whereas the Emissaries aren't so dependent on that. That Destin mechanic is just sort of this little extra flavor at the end.
That makes sense.
That's right, I put it. I take it that all the Emissaries are going to be limited to their faction to stop someone like... I mean, you've got Levy at the moment who can take more models than anyone else. Will they be sort of held that way? Or
yes. None of them have the construct characteristic or undead. And there is no way to take any of them out of faction.
Cool.
The only cross-faction thing about it is the upgrades I mentioned. I mentioned there was an upgrade for each master. So, for example, Mayfang's upgrade is Arcanist or Ten Thunders. So that upgrade can be taken on the Arcanist Emissary if Mayfang is Arcanist, or the Ten Thunders Emissary if Mayfang is Ten Thunders, but she could never like cross which emissary she picked. It's tied solely to faction.
That's fair enough.
Okay, so right, so I see the upgrade is tied to the master, and if you've got a cross faction master, then the upgrade is cross faction as well.
Yep.
Okay, and those are going to be new sculpts, are they, Justin? You were talking about new avatar models being sort of base inserts with indications of power and stuff, but that's not the emissary models.
Right. The emissaries.
There's a separate line of emissary models.
That's correct. The emissaries. Each faction will be getting one, and it'll be giant and cool looking. Hopefully, I guess that depends on your taste, but I think they're cool looking from the art that I've seen. And then if you want to use the actual avatar rules within the campaign system, yeah, we're just going to have a base insert for you to use. Or you use your old metal avatar. That's perfectly fine as well.
Is anyone else just thinking of how many, because they make an entire crew of 50mm bases just so they can use all the base inserts?
No. do you want to know how sad I am?
You're looking at Sim with your hand on him at the moment.
See, you know how sad I am. I'm looking at Sim and going, oh, poor Sim.
He can be an emissary.
Yeah.
I could use him as an
emissary.
Yeah, I think he'll be a legal proxy for... Actually, yeah, he'll definitely be a legal proxy for the Rezzer McMorning emissary.
Seal it.
Back on the
lid. Better now. I need an excuse to use Sim.
Not much of one.
Well, no. Not much of one, but that would be nice. Cool. So, why the decision to... Why this decision? Is it purely a gameplay decision?
There's a lot of reasons. Number one is gameplay. Yeah, avatars didn't work well within the context of the game. At least they couldn't meet people's expectations, right? I could design avatars in such a way that they were balanced, but they would be sort of minor buffs that masters got halfway through the game, right? And you have this giant centerpiece model that cost you as much as a crew, and you spend all this time painting and you think it looks really cool, and then you get like this extra little ability on turn three with it. Right, that's not very impressive. It would be balanced, but it wouldn't meet people's expectation for the level of money and effort they put into that model. Whereas I feel that the emissaries will meet that expectation. And the second reason, yeah, I mean, there are definitely sales reasons as well. If you look at the way we package totems are now included directly with the crew. So if you buy, whatever, Colette, when she comes out, she'll come with doves. If you buy Lady Justice, she comes with Scales of Justice, etc. And, you know, a big part of that reason was to reduce our SKUs, particularly ones that weren't selling, because a totem is only ever going to be taken with a certain master, right? Except for the generic ones. But talking about the master-specific ones, the Scales of Justice is only ever taken by Lady Justice, and not every Lady Justice player takes a totem all the time, right? So we have this entire SKU, which has very, very limited application of the game, and that therefore moves a lot more slowly on the shelves, and therefore stores don't order as much of, and therefore we don't make as much money on, right? Now, avatars have that exact same problem, except they cost as much as an entire crew. And there's going to be 39 of them, right, that we're going to have to sculpt and pay for the sculpting for, and then try to push on retailers and have them sit on their shelves. And you know, we went through all of this already with the previous avatars because they had that same issue. And it just didn't make any sense to have avatars unless they're going to be included in the crew boxes, which clearly cannot be done right now. So that was an issue. So it had gameplay issues, it had sales issues, and they were just, they had all sorts of issues. So we fixed them.
Okay. Did you ever think about taking the avatars down, and maybe the fluff reasons that dictate that you can't, taking them down the sort of War Machine route and having an E McMorning or a P McMorning?
You know, that's a suggestion that is made frequently, but in my opinion, all that happens there is you double the number of masters in the game. Because, you know, we could say here's Avatar McMorning and here's non-Avatar McMorning, and they're basically two separate masters. But then all we've done is overnight we've gone from 39 masters up to, 78, which in my opinion would not be healthy for the game.
My head would hurt. I can't fit all that much information in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question I think that people are going to ask, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be one of those, well, why didn't they just do this? It worked for them. And, you know.
Can't you imagine the dual factions, though? Yes, I'm playing Avatar McMorning for Guild, or I'm playing normal McMorning as Reza.
Yeah.
You know, the dual faction ones would go nuts. And how would you, you know, you might have issues with the, you know, how they combine and work against two factions at a model of that power level.
Oh, I'm not saying it's a good idea. I mean, I'm just saying that it will be hit. I mean, it's one of the interesting things, I think, is that by doing the public beta tests, which, you know, anyone who's listening to this show knows I applaud, it gives the user base more of a sense of ownership and perhaps entitlement. You know, we're helping Weird out, therefore they should listen to us, rather than it's Weird is letting us see something in advance, thanks Weird, but it's still their toys and their vision sort of thing. I mean, do you ever get that, Justin, when you go out and meet people?
Get what? That people...
The why didn't you take my 27-page suggestions and put them into the thing? It was obviously the correct thing to do.
Not as much as you would think. I'm not really sure. You would expect it, right? I'm not entirely sure why I don't get more of that. Maybe it's because I do take a lot of suggestions, if only for a week, you know, and then people got to see how badly their idea played out. I do that sometimes. Sometimes if people are really vocal about an idea, I just throw it in and let it fail and then change it back the next week. So it's possible that they saw their idea and they were like, oh, yeah, that's why that didn't work. It's also possible that they understand that, you know, the community is just relatively understanding that I can only try so many ideas, and if theirs couldn't get in, you know, maybe one they were really passionate about didn't get in, but another one that they spoke up about got in. Because if you really participate in the betas, and you're not saying stuff that's totally off the wall, odds are good that by the end of it, at least something you advocated for got in, even if it wasn't like your original idea, right? Even if it was somebody else's idea and you're like, hey, yeah, that's really good, you sort of advocated for it, there's a good chance something you were talking about got in there. So I think most people are relatively happy. I also think we have a great community, so it's possible that people are just sort of understanding and nice, and they go, well, you know, he didn't use my idea, but that's okay, I still like the game. I don't know. But actually, I don't get as much of that as you'd think.
On the Avatar front, so the Avatar's a legal campaign only.
Mm-hmm.
How does the balance work on that? You were saying earlier about balancing 39 is, unless they're all minor tweaks, is complicated. I mean, are you looking for completely balanced across, or because it's a campaign, there can be slight variations in power level?
Yeah, because it's a campaign, there will inherently be variations in power level. And so I think that having avatars from the context of the campaign makes more sense because it's more flexible. So maybe, you know, Avatar Y is a little bit broken, but then, you know, the opponent got a bunch of relic hammers and equipped their whole crew with relic hammers, so whatever. You know?
Yeah.
So within the context of a campaign, I think there's a little bit more give and take. And there are steps that you have to take to earn an avatar, so by the time you get one, it makes sense to make it really powerful. So yeah, I think they just work better there.
Okay, cool. Anyone got any other questions on avatars?
I was wondering one thing. In the beginning of avatars, when we first saw, you know, the sort of betas in the last set of betas, there was a plan to sort of do them with the upgrades. Is that still something that happens to the avatars?
Yeah, they still work basically in the same way. So if you read the avatar rules section in the Malifaux core book, they still work just like that, right? Yeah. They're avatar upgrades, and then you flip them over when they manifest, and there's 5 manifest cards. So all those rules in the Malifaux core book are still valid. They're still what we're going with. But the avatar upgrades themselves will be a bit more powerful, and also, obviously, they're campaign only. And the way we're actually handling that is we're going to have a bunch of campaign only upgrades, right, introduced in this book. And what's going to happen is they're going to say in the restrictions is campaign. And so, obviously, if an upgrade has the campaign restriction, it can only be taken in a campaign game. And this applies to things like injuries as your models get injured, or other upgrades. Like I mentioned earlier, your models can end up finding relic hammers, and so that would be a campaign-only upgrade. And avatars are the same thing. They're just stamped campaign. So there isn't any explicit rule in this book that says avatars are campaign-only. It's just that all of the avatars we're introducing have the campaign restriction. So theoretically, we could produce avatars in the future that did not have this restriction, but we have no plans to.
You said they had to be earned through the campaign. It would be unlikely that an avatar be in the first game of a campaign, but maybe towards the latter games.
Yeah, it'd be towards the latter game, because how that works is you can get things called bounties, and these are things you're trying to accomplish. They might be like, you know, kill the enemy leader 4 times, or accomplish, you know, these 3 schemes and get full points for them. And once you accomplish your bounty, you can then get an avatar.
Yeah, sounds great. It gives people a choice in how they want to go about doing things, and gives them a goal to shoot for as well.
Yeah, exactly. They might not shoot for the avatar at all, because part of the bounty system is you flip on a table, and you can get various faction-only upgrades from that table once you've completed the bounty. So you might do your flip and then go, oh, I don't want the avatar. I'd much rather have this, you know, this upgrade that's specific for my faction that I think is really cool. It's worth noting on that table, avatars have a value of 0. So even if you flip the Black Joker, you can always get one. Like, that's always a choice. Yeah. But if you flip higher, you might want to pick one of the other options, should you want to go that way.
I'll tell you what, this is making me want to do campaign events, guys.
Well, yeah, it does. But I wanted to do campaign weekends anyway. I suppose we're running long, but I don't mind, actually. So on the campaign, Justin, I mean, is it do you envisage a finite limit to it? Is it like 8 weeks?
Yes, or? Absolutely. At the start of it, you actually choose with your group how long you're going to play. And in the rules, I believe we have 4, 6, 8, or 12 weeks. But I mean, really, if you want to play 7, I don't care. But you determine a finite end, and at, you know, the end of it, the campaign's over, and you start over, and you can play it competitively. So there are rules for doing it just like a tournament, where you count up your you know, your campaign points, which would be like your tournament points versus your differential and all that, and then have a winner. There's also another way to play where you're building a hideout. So if you do well in your game, you can like buy upgrades for your hideout, and at the end, the guy with the coolest hideout wins. It's a little more thematic than going the tournament route. So you can actually have like a winner of the campaign. Or you could just play for 8 weeks and just sort of have fun and not be competitive at all. So there's options depending on how your group wants to take it.
And is weeks really, does that really equate to number of games?
Sort of, yeah. It's supposed to be an average of like about 2, maybe 3 games per week. So if you were playing, you know, 4 games every week, then you might want to have that. So yeah, it's really up to you and your group. Although it doesn't say games at the moment, it just says weeks. But that is something we could tweak.
Cool. Sounds very cool. I mean, I know we talked about it before, and I'm a big fan of campaign type systems. I saw on Twitter today there were some comments about getting confused about stats and things. I assume that things like injuries and stuff are just handled via upgrade cards.
Yes, yeah, they're all upgrade cards. So there's not like a sheet where you have to like erase your models, you know, melee and put in a new one. It's just your model will have an upgrade that says plus on melee. Which, I mean, you could get confused about which models have which upgrades. You know, we'll of course provide campaign sheets where you can write that all down. But you know, that's part of a campaign. You got to keep track of some stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Lee, you got anything you wish to add?
Sorry, no, I've actually been on mute, coughing my guts up. I missed half of it.
That's what I thought.
Sorry, bear with me. No, sounds great. I'm just going to listen to it when it comes out. Sorry, I missed the bit.
It's all right. We'll let you die quietly.
I'm living now.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say. I mean, I think if we call it a episode here, and then for tomorrow's episode, we can talk new models.
Sounds good to me.
Cool. Can I design some?
I don't know. You've got plenty of bendy board stuff to be designing. That's bendyboards.co.uk.
Oh, God.
What do you mean, oh, God? You're the one who was plugging it horrendously at the weekend.
I'm not going to comment.
Right, well, until tomorrow, I've been Mike.
I've been Lee.
Oh, sorry.
I've been
he
Justin.
Was Joel. I've been Lee. No, Justin. I'll talk over everyone. Sorry about that. Good night.
Bye-bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.